they'll realize that we are live on the Side Quest Live for today, May 1st, 2020. I am Dolly Dymowski. Joining me, as usual, making his return appearance, actually, not as usual.
Hey.
His return is Aaron Scratty Bones, Twitch affiliate, the Norseman, Kelly.
I had a dream last night that there
were a lot of great speeches that started that way.
Yeah, this isn't going to be one of them. I had a dream last night that I was like an accomplished professional rapper.
Okay.
My rap name was A Canadian because it could be short, because it could be shortened to AK.
That is awesome.
I've been thinking about that all day. I should start writing.
Yeah, you write that shit down. Okay, A Canadian.
But you have to pronounce the A as A. Like
A Canadian.
Not a Canadian.
I love it. It can be it's funny when you get like the best ideas while sleeping and you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, holy shit, yeah. That was awesome.
Hey, speaking of my incredible ideas, I haven't been on the show for 2 weeks. Did you guys talk about how incredible my predictive powers are?
See, I'm going to say this. I haven't had Final Fantasy VII spoiled yet, but without an actual prediction, you will say that what I remember your prediction being, without an actual spoiler, your prediction was basically like, they're going to flip the script at the end of this Final Fantasy VII version where shit's going to be different and it's going to be like, oh, wait, something's not quite right. And then cut scene and then get ready for the next episode.
I also said that I was specifically, I also Babe Ruthed it. I pointed to the crowd and said that they were going to, when that weirdness started, they were going to start intercutting it with like shots of, you know, the cutscene, right? Like, you know, Aerith getting stabbed and stuff from the original game.
No,
hey, what's up?
If you're listening to the audio version, you can't see what we're saying. If you're watching us on video, then you know exactly what we're saying. I'm excited. Like, I can't wait. I'll wait till the game like drops in price a little bit, and also that I have more time. But
I'm not going to get too far into it. Just because you haven't had it spoiled yet, and it's still, you know, within that window.
I mean, it's weird because, like, I played the original one, and I know enough of it, at least plot-wise, carries over. Some specific scenes carry over. I'm really looking forward to – the reason I'm excited about Final Fantasy VII isn't the new stuff that they've added or the changes. It's to relive things in kind of a different way.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm more excited about Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. I mean, I played it, and I was surprised that I enjoyed it because I really didn't like Final Fantasy VII.
The original one?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it was about it. It was something about Final Fantasy VIII to me looked just good enough that I was able to get into it. Like, I like the mechanics, you know, the old school Final Fantasy, like the ATB gauge and everything. So that didn't really bother me in Final Fantasy VII, but the way Final Fantasy VII looked, I just didn't like, and everything just took slightly too long. It felt like, you know, your ATB gauge would fill up and then you go, I'm gonna do this, and you'd enter it, and then it's like, oh, is it doing it? Is it happening? It's going. And it's just like something about put me off. This game is like Final Fantasy 13 and 15's combat systems had a baby.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I like 13's combat system, like when it actually opens up later on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this game does not open up, but it's nice enough that it's not a problem like it was in Final Fantasy 13. It feels open without actually being open. You're essentially walking a straight line, just like in 13.
Sure.
But everything is so scenic and like the ambiance.
The ambiance is
so good that you don't really notice that you're walking in a straight line, if that makes sense.
Well, that's what the original Final Fantasy VII had. The whole Midgar sequence was, I mean, there wasn't extra stuff in there. It was literally just you're going through the motions.
Yeah. But no, this, I'm just absurdly pleased about the fact that I called this shit so far in advance. Because normally I'll take a shot at something, like I'll make a guess about, like, you know, whatever, and it'll be, you know, to friends or in the Discord or to a like people on Steam or something like that, and then it happens and I'm right, and it's like, hey, I'm right. And everybody's like, yeah, but, you know, we all knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, motherfucker, you knew that was going to happen because I told you it was going to happen. This time, I was saying that shit on podcasts. I had that shit on Twitter. And it was like 6 to 8 months
you ago. You shot your shot.
I was 80 to 85% accurate. And that's awesome. Incredible considering how stupidly specific to try and make myself not right I was.
And yet you ended up being right. It's insane. Well, good job. Good job.
Thank you. Clap. Thank you. I'm going to give myself an applause.
Give yourself an applause. Drink something, because drinking is good. You know, get some liquid. Yeah. I'm drinking for you right now. I got some Hennessy. Good. So just overall in general, do you like the game? Because you mentioned the combat stuff.
I did.
Okay.
The combat was really fun. I played past where the demo went to on the normal difficulty, which was pretty fucking difficult. Like,
okay.
And then I was like, well, okay, I've got a feel for the combat. Like, I'm not dying really. It's just taking a long time, but I understand the mechanics. Let's crack it down to easy and see what that's like. And easy was a fucking cakewalk. Like the jump between normal to easy is like, it's like, I'm reading Tolkien and now I'm going to read Clifford the Big Red Dog. Like that's how different that combat is.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, when you beat that game, it unlocks a hard mode and a chapter slot.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Sweet.
So that's like a good challenge for whiling away the hours until I guess part two comes out in 2027.
Yeah. And then whenever part four comes out and part eight comes out, I'm curious to see what I don't think they want to go too crazy with all the extra parts, right?
Cause so there was an interview. I'll just cut this in right now. Yeah. There was an interview. How many days ago was this? 3 days ago. And the developers were asked how different Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be from Final Fantasy VII originally. And the quote is, we're not drastically changing the story and making it into something completely different than the original. Even though it is a remake, please assume the story of Final Fantasy VII will continue as Final Fantasy VII always has. And the top response to that is, did they play the end of their own game?
I think they say certain things just to make sure that they're, you know, they cover their butts for all the spoilers and stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I'm amazed at the almost unanimous praise that I saw in my timelines. I mean, it's the games that had unanimous praise recently that I've seen is Animal Crossing for a whole different reason, and then Final Fantasy VII for what it's kind of doing for the final. It's in a weird way, a lot of folks are saying it's sort of a return to classic Final Fantasy in that it's really narrative based. Some of the newer Final Fantasies, I mean, there's narrative elements, but they're way more open world. There's almost like a lot of sidetracking that you can kind of get lost in.
Final Fantasy XV, as an example,
yeah,
is a game that I really enjoyed playing, and I could not tell you what the fuck was happening in that story.
And that's what everybody kept saying. It's like, it seems cool, but I don't know what's going on. So, but Final Fantasy VII is very focused. And maybe it's just this nostalgia, the years that are on me, but I remember it being, because it was so honed in at the beginning that it became, you know, I knew those characters.
Well, that's the nice part, because you know, like those main characters, that they put a little bit of work into those characters to, you know, flesh them out a little bit more. But everybody has an idea of what those characters are, and they essentially make those characters what you think those characters were, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that gives them a shitload of opportunity to start fleshing out like all the other characters. Like Final Fantasy VII, the original, you know what I remember about Biggs, Jesse, and Wedge? I remember they existed and then they died on a tower.
And they died on a tower.
This has like a whole like mission where you hang out with those three and like go to Jesse's parents' house and you're doing some shit. And then there's like a fight. They had like a new, they had a bunch of like other characters that are part of the soldier program, which remember Final Fantasy VII, Cloud's like, you know, I used to be a soldier and Sephiroth's a soldier. And then you don't fucking hear about any other soldiers until like the third disc when they start like really introducing like Zack and stuff. Mm-hmm. This just has other dudes and they're like in soldier. Like you fight one of them like really early in the game on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's cool. It's like, all right, there's some other characters. Like,
and they put some depth to some of those. That's good. That's cool.
I especially like it because like Final Fantasy VII, the original, it's like Cloud's supposed to be like this ultra strong badass because that's what the soldier program is. And it makes sense because he's the player character. So he's eventually going to be like ungodly strong because that's a fucking JRPG. And then they introduce characters like the Turks. And the Turks are not part of soldier. They're just like normal dudes. And they're really hard fights in Final Fantasy VII. Yeah. And in this, you still fight them. They're still really hard. But now there's all these other characters. Like there's this guy on a motorcycle named Roche, and it's like, oh, he's a soldier too, and he's a really hard fight. But you know, it's like, all right, this is what a soldier versus soldier looks like. And then, you know, of course, anybody who's played Final Fantasy VII knows Cloud's not actually a soldier.
Yeah. He's just faking it the whole time.
Which is it's just cool that they were able to take all these characters that were in the original game and like add new characters and like, you know, flesh them out. Yeah.
That's cool. I'm excited for it. Ugh. Sorry, the alcohol's kidding me. It's fucking Final Fantasy, man. We've been waiting for Final Fantasy to sort of come back because they tried a lot of shit. Final Fantasy X was maybe the last quote unquote real Final Fantasy game, I guess.
Final Fantasy X was maybe the last one that there was like an almost universal hype for.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because 11 went online and then it threw everybody off, right? And then 12 is good. Don't get
12. I remember when 12 got announced. I remember seeing, I think it was a cover picture on Tips and Tricks magazine.
Oh my god, yeah, Tips and Tricks magazine. Which, like, that was that a part of like the EGM or the GamePro? I think it was the part of the GamePro or something.
Maybe, I can't remember, but that was the one that I was used to buy. I remember seeing a picture of that, and that was the first Final Fantasy game that I went, yeah, okay. And all of my friends were like, yeah, I guess. I remember when that game came out, I was like, I guess I'll have to buy it, but I'm probably not gonna play it too much. And sure enough, and then, you know, 13 I hated
13. I played the first one, and yeah, it's the problem with 13 is it was completely linear all the way through like 75. I mean, it opens up the whole joke of it opening up after 40 hours. By then, the majority of folks are just drained from that. And I think that's why I don't even remember the characters, to be honest.
It's because Final Fantasy 13 got so far up its own ass that they started throwing stuff at you and just not explaining it.
Yeah.
Like you get into that game starts and you're already like criminals, like you're on the run and you're running through like this insane like blown up highway, I guess, if I'm remembering it correctly. They don't explain anything, and then they start throwing terms at you like, oh, they're only after us because we're Lassie, and if they don't catch us and if we don't do a thing, we're gonna turn into Felsie. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? What do those words mean? Stop it.
Yeah, they don't explain any of that. They just kind of hope that you'll accept it. I mean, that was, now granted, I never played 13-2. I never played 13-3.
No, me neither.
I liked Final Fantasy 13. I thought, okay, it was fine. It was a good RPG. I think it was solid. It really was up its own butt and trying to go as far out there as possible. And that's what made it kind of get away from what Final Fantasy is. Like, to me, Final Fantasy 6 is still the best Final Fantasy. That game is awesome. The character building there, if they were ever remake that game, I think it'd be unbelievable.
That's the reason I liked 8. I liked 8 because 8 got ridiculous like once they started revealing the story. But I liked the concept of all the characters that the game focuses on are like students at a military academy.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, all right, well, that makes sense why they're all fighting and stuff. Yep. Like that's literally their jobs. You get a paycheck in that game.
Going back, Final Fantasy VIII, when I first played it, I thought, oh, I don't really like this, because I was turned off by every RPG going to the emo tech, right? So you had Final Fantasy VII was starting to get there, right? Yeah. And then Final Fantasy VIII was there, and you know, there were a lot of JRPGs, a lot of RPGs and JRPGs that were really kind of getting into that sort of realistic proportions and you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. And that was started to kind of become a turnoff for me. And it was 9 that sort of brought me back a little bit. But even then, I don't remember a single thing that happened in 9. I just started replaying it recently. And hey,
you played the previous Final Fantasy games? Because if you have, you can put together the plot of Final Fantasy 9.
Yep, exactly. They're crystals.
This boy's got a tail. There's a dancing clown.
Dancing clown. Yes, I'm gonna tell you. I think I'm gonna do okay. All right. I'm starting up a weekly post of we're just gonna rank shit. Whatever. Rank shit and related to games. And maybe the first one will just be Final Fantasies. Ranking the Final Fantasies.
Well,
lob it out there and be like,
if we're gonna actually do that, we should get John on the show at some point.
Hell yeah. All right.
Because I think SDGC actually does ranking of Final Fantasy.
Oh yeah, that's true. They did a Final Fantasy ranking. Yeah, that's true. So Final Fantasy VII. I mean, I keep circling back. That's the first time I've really, really, really been hyped for a Final Fantasy game in forever. And I'm kind of excited about that. Now we should do a whole episode. I mean, it's always good to do episodes. We did a whole episode years ago on, I remember we did a 3-hour Legend of Zelda episode on the top games on there. Don't want to paint this. On all the Zelda games ranked. This was before the launch of Skyward Sword. So we had every game and we spent 3 hours talking about just those first few, and it obviously been a bunch since then. But
was Skyward Sword the one where you turn into a wolf?
No, that was Twilight Princess.
That one was really good.
That's a good game. That's a very under. I mean, it sold a ton because it was the first Wii. It was a Wii launch title.
And it went back to the realistic like Ocarina style. After coming off of Wind Waker, which was divisive at the time.
And now looking back, it's like I'm okay with games trying shit. I remember doing that long 3-hour episode. But anyways, so Final Fantasy VII, it's good. You've moved on. You've completed it. Maybe you'll go back and play some of the chapters in different difficulty levels.
I beat it in 29 hours.
That's good. That's actually good for me to know.
Yeah, I beat it in 29 hours. And when I beat it, a bunch of people that I in a bunch of the Discords I'm in were saying, "Yeah, I beat it in 30. I beat it in 33." So there's your window.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And I think how long to beat lists the game is about between 30 to 35 hours. So that's good. All right. Cool. And as you can tell, I kind of dilly dally in games, and it takes me a lot longer only because I fall asleep playing games. Cause I don't even fucking play till late at night. What else have you been playing?
That's pretty much it. Okay. I played that. I picked up, I haven't had a chance to touch them yet. I picked up XCOM Chimera Squad.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got it on the deal, right?
Yep. I got it. I think, I don't know if it was on a specific deal or if it was just the launch week sale that every game does, but I picked that up. And I also picked up another tactics game called Troubleshooter Abandoned Children, just because
I'd never even heard of this.
It looks like an indie game. It was literally like, I was looking at XCOM and this thing came out, I think within a day of it or like a day before it or something. And I was just like, eh, fuck it. Why not?
Cool.
So, yeah. Probably by next week, I'll have played both of those. And maybe I'll have played Gears Tactics.
I was going to say, you're big into tactics games. You're missing one of the trifecta there.
Yeah, that game's on Game Pass, right? I'm pretty sure that's on Game Pass.
It might be.
So
I guess Streets of Rage 4 is on Game Pass.
Yeah, so I might re-up my Game Pass for a month and hit those games. I've seen some streamers playing Gears Tactics.
It looks cool.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
It looks really Gears.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to die. It's funny because with all this quote unquote time off that we've had, I haven't really had all that much time off, and I've complained about it in past few episodes. But I think it was what I've decided is to just kind of play maybe a different game a night, and Game Pass is perfect for that. Just kind of like watching Netflix or watching watching shows. Just kind of flip on a show, watch an episode, and be like, "Do I like it? Do I not want to?"
It's like when the like when you're at a restaurant and the sommelier brings out a little taste of wine in a glass.
Oh, I don't like it. It's too sweet for me. But
bring me the 2020 Gears Tactics.
Bring we'll the 2020 have Gears. So I'm gonna try that on the Xbox Game Pass. That is, and we'll get into Xbox stuff in a little bit. But man, Game Pass is. That is awesome. And they just kind of listed a bunch of their numbers that they got. I mean, that's that alone is going to support Microsoft going forward because that's such a great, great service. Let's see. Okay, so that's what you've been playing. Getting ready to jump into some of those. Cool. That's it?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Yeah. In my defense, I'm going to start saying that. In my defense. So I finally finished Wolfenstein 2. Awesome. I really enjoyed Wolfenstein? I really enjoyed that game. It looked fine on the Switch. I was surprised that Panic Button was able to pull it off. I think they were the team that ported it. They did a really fine job. And I like how the game just kind of becomes this more open thing later on that you can go back to. I don't know if you played it at all, but you can kind of go back to and kill the Uber commanders or whatever those are and kind of, you know, continually upgrade your gear and stuff. So I liked it. It was cool. Then I got into, once I completed that, I thought, you know, let me go right after, go into the pseudo sequel with
Youngblood.
And that game's okay. That's a very open-ended game. I mean, it's more of a, and I kind of mentioned it, it's more of, you know, it's kind of like taking some elements of Destiny and trying to throw that in there because they really want you to play co-op.
The way you just described it is the biggest flaw against it.
Yeah.
Like you just talked about Wolfenstein 2 and how awesome that game was. Mm-hmm. And then the very first thing you said about Youngblood was, yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
That's the biggest problem with Youngblood is the fact that Wolfenstein and Wolfenstein 2 were awesome.
They were awesome. They were
Youngblood, awesome. Youngblood is fine.
It's fine. I'm glad it's only 5 hours. Or sorry, it's only 5 chapters. And you can probably complete that game in like 4 hours, to be honest. Yeah. I know they listed it at like 8 hours. On a lot of sites, but you can probably plow through it in like 4 hours. Cause the levels repeat a lot. Cause really there are only 4 levels or 3 levels, something like that. And then you're just kind of hopping between those to do different missions. I do like that sort of mission structure type of thing. I'm like trying to back away from becoming a completionist where I would spend, you know, 200 hours unlocking everything in a game. Like I did with those stupid, you know, Saints Row and Red Faction Guerrilla, right. Open fucking everything. So I'm surprised. I'm trying to pull myself away from doing that stuff. And this game has a lot of it because you can upgrade your. They have a ton of weapons you can upgrade and little details and stuff. So, I think what I like the overall experience was. I don't say like. I mean, it was fine. It was a fine experience. There isn't a lot of like super neat things because it does kind of feel like short chunk. Experiences, and I think that's what they were going for is kind of like here's a little level, and then you know they make those elevators. There's elevators in this game, and there's Mass Effect 2 style elevators. They make them really apparent that they're elevators to load levels, where like the sisters will like kind of they'll dance or they'll like argue a little bit or they'll you know they'll copycat each other, and then you're like, okay, I've seen this animation before 1,000 times. Just say loading.
How's it end? They find BJ.
Yep. Sorry, spoiler. They find BJ. But it's only like 4 or 5 hours. 4 hours, 5 missions. So you can definitely get into it. But I completed that, so that was fine. Fine on the Switch. Let me rephrase it. Graphically, it's not that hot on the Switch, and I think it was one of those. Well, we just got. I think the company. Panic Button, Bethesda were just probably thought, let's just put the game out there. We put the previous one, it did well. Let's put Youngblood out there, and Youngblood's okay. Just in general. Then, obviously, Animal Crossing, I won't talk about that, but the what I will talk about, I did see the KK Slider concert, so I think that's the first time I actually completed an Animal Crossing game.
Yeah,
so,
you hit them credits.
I hit them credits, and I actually saw the credits, but that obviously now the game has opened up for me to just do like the daily shit. And it really feels like a mobile title on a console in that here's like five things. Here's a few things you can do to just kind of get goals throughout the day and catch 3 butterflies or catch 3 fish or sell this or sell that. So yeah, Animal Crossing. I like it a lot. It's such a calming, chill game. And
speaking of Animal Crossing, What the fuck's Gary Whitta doing these days?
Holy shit, Gary Whitta is hosting a fucking talk show in Animal Crossing.
So I've been semi off the internet like these last couple of weeks. You know, I missed the shows for a couple of reasons, but in between those, I've just not really been at my computer. I was on Twitch the other day and I look over at my dashboard. It's like, oh, the Gary Whitta, you know, oh, 12,700 viewers. It's like, what the fuck's going on? Dude starts a talk show in Animal Crossing, a late night show. It's incredible.
It really is.
You see that? Did you see that back and forth that just happened on Twitter?
No.
He sent a random tweet out saying, yeah, you know, love to find out how to get Reggie Fils-Aimé on as a guest. And then Reggie tweeted him back like, DM me, let's figure this out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the ingenuity in games like Animal Crossing and Minecraft. And when you give people, when you give gamers or people in general, these like strange, you give them an experience that's not necessarily open-ended, but gives you enough tools to just fuck around. People will come up with cool shit, you know? I mean, there's like, folks already made mazes in Animal Crossing. They've made, you know, there's sporting events, there's talk shows. Someone made a battle royale I saw in there. They made a, what's that, the show where they're opening up all those briefcases that Howie Mandel was on. They made one of those. I mean, it's like, it's crazy to see the creativity on stuff like that. And you know, the game is wasn't necessarily designed for that kind of shit. The game wasn't designed for a talk show, but here we are in the year of Luigi plus seven that we have a fucking talk show in Animal Crossing. And it's because people are just, they love to fuck around. They come up with cool ways to exploit it. So, cool. Yeah. I'm, still playing that. I'll be playing that the whole year. I've played, I got back into Astral Chain cause I really wanted to kind of complete that game.
Yeah.
And that's a hell of a cool game, man. I really like Astral Chain. The combat feels tight. So it's Platinum Games for the Switch. I think it's still only on the Switch right now. I know that Daemon X Machina game came out to PC that nobody cares about, but Astral Chain is really good. And I actually recommend, if you have a Switch, pick the game. I think I listed it in my top 10 or top 5.
I don't, but I appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, if you don't have a Switch. I like it. Awesome visuals. I love the style of the game. I love the just stupid premise that you're literally chained to like this alien demon portal thing. It's cool. I like it. And then for review, I've been playing A Fold Apart. And this is really neat. So A Fold Apart, we saw it at PAX East. Oh, I think it was last year or year before. I can't remember. And it's this game where, so there's two aspects of this game. The story of the game, the plot is that you're this couple, and you can choose, you know, male, female, female, male, two women, two men, whatever you want to do is fine. So it kind of opens it up. It's a love story about these folks that this couple that is having a hard time figuring out how to stay connected when one of them moves to another town, right? And so how do they stay connected? And then the story is kind of told in these internal like monologues that different characters the characters are having. So, you know, one of the characters will be walking across the screen, and the next scene will be her saying something like, you know, but what about my goals in life? And they'll kind of pop up in the background, and you think, well, it's kind of interesting. You know, they're telling the story of these two folks that are separated by this distance, but they're trying to stay in contact, but they don't know what emotionally they can. There's actually a really kind of cool, I don't want to say deep because it doesn't really feel deep, but there's this nice kind of maybe cute is the word, I don't know. There's this really nice feel to the game about how it tells a story emotionally. And so that's the narrative side. The actual gameplay side is the reason it's called A Fold Apart is that you're actually folding the screen. Everything's made out of paper. And as one character walks across the screen, they essentially have to get to the other side of the screen or get to a star somewhere on the screen, right? So there'll be like a star, and the star says that you've completed that scene. As you walk across there'll be like a gap in front of you. So you can do a variety of things. You can either fold the one side. So like consider, like it's like a piece of paper. I'm holding up this piece of paper, right? So you have the star right here, and there's a gap, and there's a platform. Well, if you do this, all of a sudden that star is now closer to you, and you can fold it again and the star appears. So you fold the sides of the screen, and then your character can kind of move across platforms.
If you fold that in half and then punch a pencil through it, you've created an Einstein-Rosen bridge.
And I think there may be that aspect later on. And so that's one way. And then you can also sort of flip the world around and kind of do things on the back of the world. And that's meant to kind of show that dichotomy between the two characters. You have characters two different places. There's two worlds, or it's one world. There's a front and a back side, and they're trying to stay connected. So you're doing these folds and these tears and these motions. It's really kind of an interesting way, and it's all in the number of folds you make, and then how you fold the paper. Do you fold a really long way and then do a short fold after that so they can climb up and then unfold it? And it's kind of cool. I'm really digging. I've only got an hour and a half into it, and the game's not super long or anything, but it's a really, really. It's funny because, like, I'm saying the game is really nice in a positive way, where I said Youngblood was fine. Fine and nice. A lot of folks can equate those as the same things. But A Fold Apart is really nice and enjoyable in that way. And then Youngblood is like, it's fine. It works. It does what it needs to do. But it doesn't like grip me. And so, I'm digging A Fold Apart. It's really simple, but I think the simplicity of it and the idea behind it is what's kind of it's charming. Charming is a great word. There we go. I'm going to use charming. It's a very charming game, and I'm really digging it. So I'll have a full review of that at some point next week. But So I've been playing a lot over the last couple weeks since you see me, and actually over the last week since we recorded last Friday, after finally completing a bunch of those games and moving on to other stuff. So that's it. So I've been playing. Let's talk about some news. Should we talk about some news? There's been some news.
There has been a few pieces of news. News piece number one, EVO's canceled.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. EVO's canceled.
They're doing an online thing instead.
As if we didn't see that coming, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've brought that up before about how all the summer events that have yet to be canceled will be canceled as we move closer towards the summer. Mm-hmm.
But they're waiting to cancel a lot of the stuff for the insurance, the sweet, sweet insurance money.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about the Last of Us 2 stuff last week?
No, I don't think we did.
None of it.
No, because it broke on Monday, I thought, right?
Okay, wow. Okay, so
let's get into it.
Some enterprising individuals essentially leaked all of the Last of Us 2.
Yep.
As this was happening, videos of all of the story cutscenes were being posted into like Twitter, like, obviously aimed at, people who would not want to see that.
Mm-hmm. It was like almost purposefully. Yeah.
Oh, sure. And for some reason, everybody decided that it was somebody from within the studio rebelling against the studio for like crunch practices or whatever.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
For some bullshit. With no evidence.
Yep.
So that kind of went on for a while, and then it sort of petered out. And then the most recent update, this happened on April 27th.
Yeah, so it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Monday. Whatever. Yeah. One of those days.
The most recent update, and I have a piece up here with the update from Hayden Taylor over at Games Industry. Mm-hmm. Is just an update to that whole story saying that Sony has identified the responsible party, and it was not a member of Sony or Naughty Dog. All the people fucking getting up on their high horse over, oh, there's better ways to express anger or your working conditions, like, you can all fuck off. Hey, what's up, Jason Schreier?
So here's the funny thing. I'm going to read my notes when that was first. Let me see if I can find it, because I get to gloat a little bit. I made the prediction of this one.
Right. Yeah.
They once that went live. Oh well, it's somewhere. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Zach wrote. Someone got a hold of The Last of Us 2 and is uploading chunks of gameplay on YouTube. Whole story is spoiled. Just be aware. And so I wrote down. I'm like, I'm like, there's you don't throw your coworkers into the fire like that. No one does it. No matter how much of a shitty company, Naughty Dog is, or, you know, other companies might be. People just don't do that. And I'm like, I wrote down, Naughty Dog sounds like they have hella issues. We've heard that before. I said, but yep. you don't go rogue and hurt the livelihood, because that's just not something you do. And I'm like, I said, I think there's a much bigger issue here, perhaps, with the security of their code. Like, someone may very well have gotten access to a dev account during this work from home stuff. And I'm like, that stuff has, we know that stuff's happened before. And so my theory was, everybody's working from home right now, and nobody's VPN is fucking secure. All it takes is, somebody to hop online somewhere and get somebody's account information. Even it's a social engineering. You can hop on LinkedIn and type in Naughty Dog and find a list of employees and find out what they do. It's like, okay, I'm going to go one by one on those folks, and I'm going to guess a password. I'm going to guess something. I'm going to figure out their login, and you're in. I mean, it's stupid, but it happens a lot. And to me, I felt like that could have very well been how this happened. Because if anything, right now, everybody's working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And those servers are open, because my fear is that the security is so bad, and it's happened all over the place. I know it's happened in my company in some respects. I don't want to say my company, but
for legal reasons, you cannot say your company.
For legal reasons, no. But for a lot of companies, when you're rushing to get out the door, right? Because a lot of the states, a lot of the countries said you're working from home now. That's it. You just work from home. You just grab what's on your desk, grab your laptop, and go home. And a lot of companies just weren't ready for that from an infrastructure side, the back end. And so it could have been very easy. Like, maybe it is hackers. Maybe it is something completely different. But my theory kind of holds that the work from home thing left a lot of open holes. Someone got into Naughty Dog's servers and, you know, downloaded the assets, and there you go. Because those videos might be, might have actually been videos that they had, like play sessions or something, that were loaded up onto there for all we know. So. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It sounds like I may have been right. I was one of the folks that said it's likely not somebody from internal, because you wouldn't do that no matter how shitty of a company is. I wouldn't want to fuck everybody I work with over. Even though there are shitty people out there, I don't think anybody would want to screw up the folks that they work with. So yeah, anyways, so that's shitty. I'm glad I avoided it. I did see folks pissed off. My joy is always seeing, like, people say, oh my God, fucking Naughty, fucking such and such company. They ruined the game, or I can't believe they're doing that. What a shitty way to end this game, you know, without actually seeing what the spoiler is. They're all upset, which sure. To me is great. I love it. Play the game and figure it out yourself. So yeah, Titanic sinks, but you're still going to go see the fucking Titanic movie.
It's true. And then buy it on VHS.
That's what I did. Two VHS tapes.
Yeah. It was a big fucking box set.
Yeah, they did. It was awesome. So what else we got news-wise?
This is just a little thing I included because it made me laugh. Epic Games, the Epic Games store, they tend to give like away to like two free games like every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. They're changing it so that randomly going forward, it's going to prompt you for two-factor authentication to claim the free games.
Okay.
They don't really give a reason why. They just say it's for security reasons. It just made me laugh because I've had two-factor on that account since for like fucking forever ago. Mm-hmm. I've noticed a serious uptick, and I wake up and I've got a bunch of emails like, "Hey, here's your two-factor code." I wake up and okay, I guess somebody's trying to log in that account. I got two-factor, so I assume that has something to do with that. It makes me wonder. The Fortnite had that Travis Scott concert, mm-hmm. and maybe you got free items for going to that. And now there's been a resurge in people trying to hack accounts for Fortnite items.
Maybe I should. I'll have to make sure. I think I have two factor on. I do have two factor on. Okay.
Hey, here's how much of an old man I am. I saw everybody tweeting about the fact that Fortnite was having a Travis Scott concert in game, and I was like, "Why is the drummer from Blink 182?"
I was gonna say, "Why is that?"
That's Travis Barker. That's not Travis Scott. I don't know who Travis Scott is.
Yeah, is that the guy? That's the UFO dude. No, that's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
That's funny, Travis. Why is he having a concert? They did good. They had millions of viewers.
I saw some clips of that concert. I don't know who that guy is, and I don't
concert.
I don't know who that guy is, and I don't like Fortnite over much. That seemed really cool.
Yeah, it looked. I didn't watch it. I watched clips of it. Yeah,
that seemed really fucking cool.
I think that's pretty neat, and I mean, mix that with an actual live performance, like somebody actually singing. I think that could be.
It makes me wonder if did he go to Epic and do some mocap?
He must have done it, or they must have had somebody else do it. And I don't know.
That seemed really cool. That's super neat. That's sort of what I thought video games might be like when I was a kid, imagining VR and stuff. You know what I mean?
We're getting close to Ready Player One. We really are.
Oh, it's coming. I'm so happy. Final piece of news. I mentioned this in the Discord. Do you know that RPG Indivisible?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Do you want that on Switch? it got released on Switch by the publisher, and the publisher didn't tell the developers or advertise it or market it at all, and they released it with an older build.
So did you see the updates to that drama?
So all I saw...
this is good. This is good shit.
I have the original tweet thread here, and it looks like some of it's been deleted.
Hmm.
And then at the end, all I've seen is... Let me see if I can find it here. The Switch version was always apparently intended to have a day one patch.
This is
indeed the release build, but without any patches. Co-op and New Game Plus were not intended to be in the day one patch either, but are intended to be added later.
So apparently, from what 505 Games, I think it was, they replied back with, "Oh shit. The game wasn't supposed to go live yet. Like, the release date was supposed to be mid-May, essentially 2 weeks from now. And there was quite literally a clerical error with the date. It could be one of those things where they screwed up they flipped some numbers around or something. I don't know what it is, but they fucked up and the date, literally, that's their excuse, is...
They meant to release it on May 10th, and instead they released it on May 1st.
Something like that. Yeah, they forgot the zero in there or something. And then the game launched with the data they had in there, and that was it. And that's why they're like, oh, fuck, they freaked out. You know, so now they have to worry about patching the dev level, the pre-release version of the game, which is – it's a mess. But I think that just goes to show you the when you sign your life away to a publisher – bad shit can happen sometimes. So
yeah.
Let's see here. You got any other news?
No, that was everything I had. I didn't include the Xbox stuff because I wasn't sure. That stuff's been slowly coming rolling out over the last while. Yeah. I wasn't sure what you guys had talked about. So,
I'll hit you with that
Xbox stuff.
Sure. Well, before we do that, let me get into a little bit more Last of Us stuff. Actually, once all that stuff broke, they actually came out and said, okay, we do have the new dates for Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima, by the way.
Really?
Last of Us 2 now is coming out June 19th.
Mm.
And if you remember, the date for Ghost of Tsushima was going to be June 26th. Well, now that's been pushed back to July 17th. So basically a 1 month push for both those.
For now.
So yeah, and still no Iron Man VR date, but who knows? So yeah, there you go. You got your Last of Us, and you got your Ghost of Tsushima, and it's not too long of a wait. But and then Deadly Premonition 2 got a July release date that Nintendo and Square announced. That's good. Ubisoft revealed Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, which it was rumored to be called Ragnarok for a while. I think that may have been what the kind of the pre-release or the dev name was. But it's Vikings. It's the Viking.
It's the Viking one we've all been talking about for, it feels like a decade.
The Viking raids of England. And the game's been worked on. It's by the Origins team. It's been worked on since for the last 2.5 years. So that's kind of where... I mean, they haven't shown any gameplay yet, but they are going to be showing gameplay soon. They showed a cinematic trailer. They are going to show gameplay soon. They're going to show gameplay on the 7th of May, which is the date and the location of the Microsoft Xbox Series X next gen gameplay reveal for third parties. So third parties are going to showcase. Microsoft dropped the tweet yesterday. It said, hey, May 7th, tune into a special edition of Inside Xbox, where we're going to show you gameplay from our Xbox Series X.
You know what I realized?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks in-person press conferences, especially for gameplay showcases, are more real, even though it seems like every single time somebody goes, hey, I'm going to take a picture around the cabinet of the new console. Oh, there's a PC under there.
Yeah, right. Literally.
Now that they're being forced to do it digital, they don't even have to have the pretense of a console. They're gonna, I bet. They're gonna be like, hey, look, here's the box. Hey, here's some
actual play footage.
But
I think you're right. They don't fucking care anymore. This is easier, much easier for them to do. And even in the at conferences, they never show actual like live gameplay anymore. If they do, it's very minimal, mostly because shit goes wrong all the time.
Yep.
You know, all the time.
They'll show live gameplay, which is actually the game running, but it's been recorded.
Exactly. Yep.
But yeah.
But not you won't have. I mean, I think Microsoft had it at their E3 press conference very minimally, if I remember correctly, but that's it. Nobody else does it. So, just pre-record that stuff. It's fine. We're okay with it. That's coming May 7th. We'll get to see some third-party footage. Now, reminder, all these games are coming to current-gen consoles as well. So everything you're seeing, remember, because what Microsoft and Sony both said is their first year, or their first several months of consoles is basically going to be cross-gen games. So we already know Cyberpunk 2077. We already know... now we know Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to have Madden. You're going to have your NBA 2K. There's four games right there for you. You'll have whatever else is coming out.
You're going to have WWE 2K21. Oh, no. Wait,
no, they're not. Go. They are going to have Battlegrounds because that game's coming out. So, yeah, that's going to be the – they announced that WWE 2K is 21. The mainline sim game is not coming out this year because it was shit the last couple of years. And so – they said, let's put out, the makers of NBA Playgrounds to come up with the, come up with our game. So they got the, those dudes, I'm looking for their name right here. Sorry. Saber Interactive all over the place. They do the NBA Playground stuff, but they're making more of like an arcade like experience, which to be honest, I think maybe that's the best way to go with a wrestling game, because you kind of want dumb over the top shit anyways.
Here's what you do. Here's how you make a really good wrestling game. You either make a really like an arcadey game like these guys are doing that's really fun to play and isn't like so hooked up on realism.
Yep.
Or you add a story creator where everybody can go backstage and get hit by a limo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly. There's got to be limo hits and everything anyways. So
yeah.
That's coming. Let me see if there's anything else. I don't see anything else. No,
that's basically everything.
Yeah. It's been a slower week. Folks are kind of, I don't know how it is by you guys, but places are starting to get their come out of hibernation modes, and the stuff. So we'll be starting to go outside again at some point, but still playing games. But so that's it. That's Friday night. Friday night fights. We did it. We survived. Nice. I keep saying a shorter episode, but it's still 50 minutes.
Yeah, we still, knocked out an hour.
Yeah, it's all good. It gives me time to go back and play. I've gotten into baseball cards now, so I'm like doing this shit. I'm on this now. So unfortunately, started collecting this shit now.
I had a guy come into my store today who randomly just started bitching about the fact that he's not allowed to go fishing.
Oh, geez.
And he's like, it's such bullshit because, I understand it for people that go fishing to go drink with their friends. Like, that makes sense. I go fishing by myself and I'm just out there to catch fish, and it's bullshit that I can't go fishing. And then they announced he was in probably 10 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
8 hours ago, the government of my province announced that they're reopening parks and trails and they're allowing fishing and gardening. So
we've had gardening opening. Fishing was okay. All this stuff was open because we have lakes in Michigan, so you can't really keep people from the lakes, and parks and stuff were all open. All they said was they don't want you to use motorized boats on the lakes because you need to fill those up, and those tend to be at docks where there's a lot of people. And so what we don't want people to be congregating in areas. Now, if you live on a lake, you're going to be okay because no one's going to fuck with you. But if you have to take your boat out anywhere, then that's the whole reason. And so we had folks with guns show up to our capital of our state.
I saw that. Isn't that how gun control happens? I'm pretty sure I remember the Black Panthers showed up at the Capitol steps with guns, and now black people can't have guns anymore in America.
Imagine if these folks were black. But yeah, they showed up with like guns, and I'm like, are you guys gonna try to shoot the virus? Because that's not how this works.
Yeah, I don't understand these fucking whack jobs. Here's the flip side of that. There was a mass shooting in my province.
Yeah, I heard that
a week and a half ago.
Crazy.
It was the worst mass shooting in Canadian history.
You guys got on it right away. Your leadership was like, fuck it. You know what? You can't play with those toys anymore.
Yeah, we got on it right away. And they're just like, all right, we're going to ban assault weapons. All of them.
Yep.
And I mentioned this because I'm looking at a poll right now. This is 4 out of 5 Canadians support the complete ban on civilian-owned assault rifles. Yep. So
you guys are on it. Congrats.
The thing that pissed me off was about the whole thing was it happened. Mm-hmm. And then within like a day, news outlets were going, doing the usual interviews of people he knew and shit like that. I can't believe he would. I guess he just snapped. He had a fully realistic fake police car and a fully realistic police uniform. And they found out he had a hit list going back to the mid 2000s.
It's crazy.
Like the motherfucker didn't just snap. Like they're. It's premeditated as hell.
All these dudes are premeditated, like all these things. There's always reason behind it. People don't just snap. It's not like you lose. That's a TV show. That's the stuff you see in movies. Is people they don't that doesn't happen.
He had. I found it. So he was like he made dentures or something. That was his business. Whatever fucking town he lived in, he wanted to put up like a giant set of dentures as like a logo, like a fake statue type thing, or whatever. One of the people on this fucking hit list that didn't even know he was on it was a dude who at the time that he wanted to put this statue thing up, voted against it. That was the only interaction they had ever had. He was a dude who worked in the government back in the mid 2000s and voted against it. It's like, oh, Christ. I know. So Canada just banned all assault weapons. They're all gone.
It's craziness.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. All right, my dude. Well, I'm going to let you have the rest of your evening back. Thank you for joining me on this wonderful Friday night. Thank you to our viewers and listeners. Hello. Hi, everybody. We miss you.
Hey, thanks to Tom and Sam. It's good
Tom
to have
and Sam,
you here.
Thank you. Yeah, because remember, Sam was like, I can definitely do Friday night.
That's why we waited.
That's why we waited, because then it yesterday.
Where's Sam? Let's see if Sam's online right now.
Let's see if Sam's on. Sam is not online.
He's not.
Nope. Ah, Sam. But all right. Well, Aaron, thank you, my dude. I'm gonna go play some video games, and I hope you can play some video games. And I'm gonna fall asleep on the couch drunk because I've been drinking. I've been sipping the Henny.
I never got time off work.
I know you haven't had any time off work. I mean, I'm not off work. I'm at home.
You're at home working,
but I'm working nonstop.
You're working, but you're at home.
I'm at home. You're
at the very least, like you can sit on a nice, comfy couch.
Yeah,
and do some work on your laptop. I still have to go to work every day. It sucks.
That sucks, dude. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't suck because my job's easy as piss. But
yeah, my wife has to go into the office. She's back at it now at her company. When you're the head of HR, you got to kind of be there. So, all right, dude, I'm going to let you go. See everybody. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones.
Mm-hmm. You can find me at Dolly Dimofsky. I've been streaming. Could you believe it? I've actually started streaming games.
Yeah.
Now I got to get, it came to the realization that I need a better camera thumbs up, because this camera here on the Mac sucks. The one on my PC sucks. So I need a better camera. B, I need a better laptop. So I might actually just start with that first. So yeah. I need a better computer. Number one, numero uno. Both these things are at least 5 years old and they're chugging.
I think I need a new webcam too.
Yeah, new webcam. Or I might, I have a Canon Vixia.
I keep seeing people who are going the DSLR plus cam link route.
Yeah.
Fuck, that looks so good.
It looks so good, but it's so expensive because you have to have a good DSLR.
The cam link alone is like a couple $100, isn't it?
Yeah, starting at 150, I think. And like, for the regular one, then like the 4K one, which is I think that's the only one they sell now, is like 200, 250 or something. Yeah, which is crazy because there's nothing else out there that
for a USB stick.
For USB, yeah. But so the only problem with that, as I watched a Cam Link setup video, was they basically said, yeah, the only, you know, make sure your camera doesn't have an auto shut off, which a lot of cameras have an auto shut off no matter what under the settings. So sometimes, you know, depending on how long you have the camera on, it may automatically shut off on you. Since it's not recording, a lot of times it's on, you know. That Cam Link looks awesome. I'm leaning towards that. But either way, I have to get a new computer first. So I ordered a new table finally, so I can actually have space on here step by step. All right, you can find us at sidequesting.com. Rate and review, yada, yada, yada. And we'll see you guys. I gotta remember where the camera is.
The camera's right here.